The scripture reading is from Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee."
All right, good morning. Before you sit down, let me invite you to stand on this Palm Sunday and turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, "If I had a palm branch right now, I'd be waving it for you." Before we dive in, let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. You are dismissed, released, free to go. Today is one of those days in the life of the church where we are invited to revisit a familiar story. A story, more specifically, that calls us to reflect on the significance of Jesus' final week. And today that means his entrance into Jerusalem. Keeping in mind that in the familiar, there is often the unexpected. And the unexpected often has something to say. And today's Palm Sunday story is largely a story of the unexpected. As you heard this morning read for us, that was Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. We, along with millions of people all over the world, are reading the same text this morning, part of what is the liturgical, larger church liturgical calendar. And so this Sunday is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, which is what Cliff read for us. Before we kind of dive into it, let me go ahead and let's pause and pray. And so, God, as we now come to this day, this season, this story, may we hear not only what we have heard before, but what you are saying to us now. What you are saying to us in this moment, in this time. Slow us down, quiet maybe our assumptions, and open us now to the King who comes. The King who is present with us even now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is from the poet Jan Richardson. She writes, "This is the day we go to Jerusalem, a day to enter the city that opens to us as we open to it. This is the day we know every step we take might lead us closer to the end we fear and the beginning we cannot imagine." And maybe that's exactly what this day is about. Something familiar, yes, and yet something entirely unexpected. Keeping in mind, this day did not start at Matthew 21, but travels back hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, to an ancient people who are waiting and hoping and longing for a king. And with it, all of the really deeply held expectations, their ideas of how this day should go. It's a day that travels all the way back to the 6th century BC. The kingdom of Persia is in power over the ancient Near East. And it's into that place and time then to a people living right under oppression, waiting, hoping, longing, and yet under oppression. Subjugated, exploited, persecuted. Here comes the prophet Zechariah, who says these words. He says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious." And no doubt that would have absolutely sounded amazing. Right? That was exactly what they were waiting for, longing for, hoping for. A king who would come in force, who would overthrow their oppressors, who would restore everything that had been lost, who would take control, a king who would set things right. This is the familiar story. And this is the king they expected. And yet, the prophet continues, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this is where the story begins to shift. Because this is not how a king arrives. At least not a king they were expecting. At least not the king they were expecting. Right? Not the kind of king who comes to overthrow and set things to right. That kind of a king in the ancient world would not ride on a donkey. That kind of a king would come on a horse, a stallion, a steed. But here we read a donkey. This is a completely different king. And this is a completely different kind of kingdom. And that is where in the midst of their experience then, we begin to see Jesus, right, making his way into the city. And yet, the expectations, notice they continue, the crowd responds, there is the spreading of their cloaks on the road, placing their branches, it says, along the way, shouting, crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven." All of which is language from the Psalms, language that recognizes Jesus as the coming Messiah, recognizes Jesus as King. Language again that cries out, Hosanna, right? Hosanna means to save. And not someday, but to save now. And in that experience then, we read the whole city was stirred, from the Greek seo. That can be translated to shake. Not like a little salt and pepper shaker, but this is like an earthquake. Meaning when he enters Jerusalem, the city is trembling. Right? The ground is shifting as if everything is about to change. And so what is happening here? What is happening? And this is where I want us to land today. Because this is the most sacred week of the Jewish year. At its core, it is a remembrance and a celebration of the liberation of the Israelites from oppression, out from injustice. And yet here, in this moment, they are living under oppression. Not to Egypt and to Pharaoh, but to Rome and to Caesar. And so this moment is really charged with emotion. There's all kinds of tension going on. There's unrest. Everything and everyone, imagine, is on edge. And this is where the unexpected then begins to speak. Because while Jesus enters the city from the east, there is another who is entering the city from the west. This is from author Raj Pratt. As he puts it, it was the usual practice of the Roman army to conduct a military parade with horses on the streets of Jerusalem during the festival of Passover as a sign of its authoritarian power and might. Their arms and weapons were on public display to both frighten and intimidate those who might consider insurrection. Author and scholar Marcus Borg, he writes, they, and he's speaking here of the Romans, they did so not out of empathetic reverence for the religious devotion of the Jewish subjects, but to be in the city in case there was trouble. There often was, especially at Passover, a festival that celebrated the Jewish people's liberation from an earlier empire. And so by way of remembrance for some, we can kind of lean into this and kind of imagine this sort of a scene. Right, because from the west is an absolutely overwhelming, incredible display of power. You have Pilate on his horse, his stallion. You've got thousands upon thousands of soldiers, marching feet, pounding the dust. You've got the cavalry mounted on horses. You've got swords and shields and spears. Right, this is force and strength. This is domination. This is intimidation. And for many who were actually there, this was the kind of king they were expecting. Thousands and thousands. Horses, swords, spears. And then contrast that with the east. From the east, a wholly other procession enters Jerusalem. Jesus riding on a donkey. A donkey is a symbol of peace, of shalom. It says gentle, lowly, humble. Right? There is no armor, there are no robes, there are no swords and shields and spears. Pilate with his massive army from the west, Jesus with his peasant gathering from the east. Pilate proclaiming the power of the empire of Rome. Jesus, with his peasant gathering, proclaiming the peace of the kingdom of God. It's really a clash of two worlds. I could say two visions, two ways of being. On the one hand, there's the way of oppression, exploitation. And on the other, there is the way of righteousness and justice. There's the way of the sword and the spear and the shield, and there's the way of gentle and lowly and humble. There is the way of power and control and strength, and there's the way of peace. There's the way of shalom. Again, from Marcus Borg, Jesus' procession deliberately countered what was happening on the other side of the city. Pilate's procession embodied the power, glory, and violence of the empire that ruled the world. Jesus' procession embodied an alternative vision, the kingdom of God. This contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Caesar is central to the story of Jesus. And consequently, it is central to your life and mine, central to the story of your life and mine. Right in the midst of all of our expectations, all of our waiting and hoping and longing for things to be other than maybe what they are. And so what kind of king are we following? What kind of kingdom are we living? With that, we could ask, where am I longing for God to act and fulfill my expectation? Where am I tempted to take control rather than trust the way of Jesus? What would it look like for me to follow a lowly and humble king today? What would it look like for me to follow a lowly and humble king today? What kind of kingdom will I build with the way I live this week? Right, not in theory, right, but in the way that I speak, in the way that I respond, in the way that I show up. Let's take a few minutes to sit together in stillness. If the Lord would lead you to share, the microphone is here. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. This is the day we know, and the beginning we cannot imagine.